And welcome to the Smoke Break. I am your host, your old pal Zane, clearing my throat, here with Zoe Schwartz.
Hello.
And our guest, Jasmine Nothing.
That's me, apparently.
Jasmine.
Nothing.
What? Can we restart? What do I introduce you as?
That's perfect.
Okay. There's a million episodes of me saying, can we restart?
I was just going to say, this is like a thing now.
It's just a thing. So we're not restarting because we're just going with the flow. And because of that, we're going to do a real quick disclaimer, which is to say this is for entertainment purposes only, and we work in the field of mental health, but do not claim to be professionals in this space. Our intention is to have conversations around lived experience, and as a result, we may not always agree with what our guests say, but we do intend to hold space for open conversations and learning from one another. Oh my God, this has been a roller coaster. Jasmine?
It's a perfect 1 minute. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is
welcome to the chaos.
Yes, welcome to the chaos. Jasmine, so happy to have you. We're actually going to, you're more than a guest. You're more than a guest. You're our new host.
Surprise!
Surprise!
What? And that's why we're going to talk about collaboration.
We are going to talk about collaboration because we're going to collaborate.
Yes, we are. We are. both ways, actually. Yeah. So I'm helping you with your thing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So my thing is Telltale, which is a curated storytelling show for folks that like to get vulnerable and take no shit. This summer, we'll be celebrating our 9-year anniversary of mostly monthly shows, which is pretty wild.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it started after... I used to have a different preamble. This is what I used to say at the start of every one of my shows, that like this show started because of the election of 2016, and which feels like a world away at this point.
Yeah.
But it started because of that election and because I really wanted to find community and I couldn't figure out what mine was. And I was like mad about a lot of stuff, as anyone who cares about people should be around then and still. And was trying to figure out what my community was, couldn't figure out what it was. And I was like, fuck it, I'll make one, which is kind of what Telltale became, was just like a community of people that come out. They could be professional storytellers or comedians or anything else, or they could be folks who have never spoken into a microphone before. We all get together and we tell a story based on loosely on some random ass theme that I come up with.
Usually a random ass theme, but it's usually like really, really well thought out too.
Yeah, both. It is pretty random. Sometimes I would forget to like pick the theme until I realized that I had to like announce it in the moment and just like look around the room and be like, oh no, and just pick something suddenly. But now that we've been doing it for 9 years, we are ready to branch out and we're hoping to start working with other folks. And so we're trying to become a production company called Telltale Presents that is going to help other people's shows get off the ground if they're just starting out or if
Jasmine
they just need
we're on the ground. No, I'm just kidding.
Or if they just need some structure.
Had a little fumbles.
And some practicing of communication and things because your content is really great because I've listened to every single one of these episodes of The Smoke Break.
You have.
And have loved all of them and am really stoked to be working together.
Yeah, likewise.
Day one listeners, what they call that on one of the podcasts I listen to.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I appreciate you going through because, you know, like I feel like with The Smoke Break, there is like a long history. There is like a lot of care that was like put into the show. It was definitely originally just around the idea that like I don't have all the best ideas, but I know that between me and my friends, we can come up with some pretty good ideas. And I feel like that's been true over the years. I guess originally you listened to one of the first smoke breaks, which was called the Helium Break. This is some extra lore. It was called the Helium Break, and it was just me telling my mom about meeting my dad in Atlanta, very high. My comedy for forever.
Yeah.
Telling her very high, and then we sped it up so it sounded like we were on helium. And then I released it to the world and was like, why isn't this killing right now? And my mom and I just laughed really fucking hard at it. But it's...
And now knowing like you and your mom, it was very funny.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But with that said, it was just, you know, I used to make my mom laugh by telling her about my day or even things that were difficult. And it made talking about difficult things that much easier. So, you know, through the years, we've had different hosts, different, you know, there was Josh, Taylor came back. We had Amanda left, came back. I mean, everybody's just kind of like cycled out, but I'm so excited to have the group we have right now.
Which is also like your like community that you've built around it.
Yeah.
So even if people aren't necessarily part of it anymore, those are like still important like
absolutely.
Chapters of it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So with collaboration, why were you hesitant to do it before?
Oh, because I am really like control over everything. Mm-hmm. Easily get disappointed when people don't follow through on things. Mm. And it's easier to just do everything myself. And as soon as I relinquish any control to somebody else, I get frustrated with them really easily.
Yeah, yeah.
My sister's like that. Are you a Virgo?
Cancer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have cancer too. I know. Our birthdays are one day apart.
Oh, yeah. Why did I forget that?
Zoe just realized so many things. And I think they were remembered.
Rediscovering things.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, collaboration can definitely be difficult just because it is the hope that, you know, when somebody says they're going to do something that they will, in fact, do it.
So strangely enough, yeah.
So is you choosing to do this is kind of like you choosing to try to stretch that muscle and work on like not feeling that way about it, or
yes, and
I mean, obviously you want to too. It's not just for that, probably, but
yeah, and because like Xander and I have worked together on enough stuff now where I feel like I can trust them to like follow through on things. I mean, when I started my show, I started
like,
with
that's your experience. No, that's
not what I meant. I was just thinking, I was like, what about me? I was like, you trust me?
We have worked together on far less things, yes. So yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I don't always do everything I said I'm going to do, or like put things in my calendar, like when I booked my sister and then realized I was going on a trip.
We're going to fix it. It's going to be fine.
We'll get you on here.
You're on the
I haven't told her yet.
She's in the rebooking section of the note that I have where I track all of the things. But when I started Telltale, like I started it with somebody else, technically. Mm-hmm. She and I decided to do a show together. We did a couple planning meetings. We had the first show together. It was fine. We had a second show together. It wasn't great. We tried to talk about things that we didn't agree about. And she said our tagline of like being vulnerable and taking no shit. She said the idea of being vulnerable on stage made her so sick that she wanted to throw up, and she never wanted to feel like that ever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that why did you agree to that as our tagline? We already have a logo and merch. Okay, fine. Yeah. And then the next one, she called in migraine. And then the next one, she called in dog bite. Mm-hmm. And then we never spoke to each other ever again.
Really?
Yeah.
She ghosted you?
We just mutually decided to not do this anymore.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't necessarily.
What do you call when two ghosts decide not to talk again?
Wow, that's a rough beginning. That's impressive that you still got it off the ground after all that.
Yeah, and she was the one that like had like stage experience and like doing stuff experience, and I super did not.
Was she an actor? Because I feel like actors
she
don't.
She was a wannabe comedian.
Gotcha.
The like intro for my show, that she wrote all of it, and it was basically every single bit of it was like her, like she would script a line that would set her up to do a joke. So I would like
just
say
a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which neither of those things are accurate, so it didn't work out so hot for me. And when I tried to push back and be like, can we be like a little looser? No, we could not.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, I mean, collaborating is difficult because I feel like, you know, you did the right thing, which was work with me for a little bit, then decide you wanted to work with me more. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's like, I don't know you, but we both have similar ideas. Let's take a chance that we work well together. Mm-hmm. And that has not always worked out for me.
Yeah.
So I feel like, especially with collaboration, dependability is extremely important. Like you need to know that
follow through.
Yeah. You need to know that it's not going to be you ending up doing all of it by yourself in the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
like a group project and community college.
Mm-hmm.
Heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think that that just is sort of like a tendency of like one person is going to be a leader who it's the most important to, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's going to be one person who
like the most energy behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I wish that it was like everybody, but like, it doesn't always work like that. No. I think like, you know,
why do you look at me when you
because Zoe, I was looking at both of you. I swear.
I'm the talent. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not the talent. I think that, you know, oftentimes when you get enough people together that like if you can find a way that everybody can do the thing that they're good at, yes, that it makes working together a little bit easier.
Yeah. I think we also just needed someone to like help be like we need someone to help us be more organized. And I think that is clearly something you're good at.
And, I know details and follow through.
Yeah, and we need help.
Yes. And I know vague ideas and saying I will.
Yeah.
So.
And then forgetting. I'm just kidding.
In that order.
I track things really well. We have a lot of shared notes. Yes. Jane and I have a lot of information from our lives.
Yes.
Just to be clear, me forgetting as well. Okay, not just big forgetter over here.
Thank you for taking responsibility.
So what's it? So should we talk about what it's going to look like now? Or wait, we didn't talk about it yet. Did we?
I mean, this is it. We're collaborating.
It's happening.
Okay, it's happening.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, we already made the announcement. Okay, so are we talking about more about what it's going to look like?
Well, I think it's just the idea of collaboration.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Just because okay. I don't know. I think that you only really come up with your own ideas, right? Mm-hmm. If you're only sitting with your own thoughts, you're only going to come up with your ideas. And I think that like other people have so many great ideas and things to offer that it's almost, you're doing yourself a disservice not to workshop with other people.
Yeah, and in this particular case, like I also don't know exactly what it's going to look like, because it's the first like collaborative thing, like the Telltale Presents thing. This is just the first time
Jasmine
that I'm doing
just said
it.
They don't like to collaborate, so. Zoe.
Damn it,
I'm taking a chance.
Yeah.
No, it'll be good. It'll be good.
So. I mean, it already has been good. Like I've really enjoyed being on a couple of these episodes lately when someone else isn't able to make it, and being able to like get folks booked up in advance and just kind of like structuring things a little more.
Yeah. I think it's helping us feel a little more effective in our attempt to get in the groove again.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, as far as the thing that I was just saying,
collaboration is a really important thing. No, but
oh my god. What are times that collaboration has worked really well for you?
Not that group project that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can tell that was a little...
I feel like the ones that don't work are the ones that always come to mind so much faster. But yeah. I feel like you probably have had like positive experiences with it too.
I think for me, because I feel like I am a lot more effective often when I like work with other people, even if it's like we're not working together, you could even be working next to each other. I just feel like that like in general, there's more momentum when you collaborate with other people. Mm-hmm. I struggle with... procrastinating and getting started when I'm by myself. But if I have other people around, it's like just, and it'll spark creativity too. I think when you're around other people, like you hear other people's ideas and it like helps you come up with new ideas.
Yeah, definitely. I would say the time that it actually really worked out for me was when I was in China. I was helping manage a school because I wouldn't say that I was the only manager because I was really good at talking to people, really bad at organizing things. You get it. And so I had a person who was really good at organizing things, doing all the things and making sure all the things lined up. And then I was the person who had to tell all of the English teachers that the thing that we were going to do was going to suck, but we had to do it anyways. And I used some nice words to make that happen.
Those are important skills too. Like
they are, but
balances out.
If I was only talking to people, shit wouldn't be getting done. And if shit was getting done, but the person who was talking to them, because that person was very like crass. They did not have people skills. And even if we both told the teachers the same thing, they prefer to hear it from me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I don't want to figure out all the hard stuff, but I can, stomach somebody being mad about something. That's par for the course.
I mean, any of the tasks just like balance out to like your skills. I mean, it's silly, but like I don't do any laundry in my house, but I do put away all of the laundry in the house. Mm-hmm. So just being able to figure out where your skill set lies and go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I would be the doer and I need someone to fold it for me and put it away.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I really do hate folding laundry. I have like a bed in my house that's just covered in clothes all the time.
That is my bed frequently. Metro will have like done laundry and then just dumped it all over the bed. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I apparently have another task before bed.
Okay. So what you have to do is you have to just cram it in the clothes basket and then throw it in the dryer before you leave. Get all the wrinkles out and you never have to fold anything. Don't listen to me.
No, I do like the idea of collaboration in the sense that it allows each person to focus on what they're good at. And then it also kind of helps us like not... Like, I think just in the general idea of like getting things done or being creative together, like it helps you not compare yourself as much because you're like, oh, I have this thing that I'm really good at. Like, and that's why, I would imagine it's kind of like being in a band or something. You know what I mean?
Where
it's like, everybody together is what makes it cool, but everybody kind of gets to focus on the thing that they feel the most effective at.
But like, why would you beat yourself up for like not being good at drums if that's not your thing?
Exactly.
So you could say like, I'm not a good musician. Be like, no, you're not good at the thing that you're not good at. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. You were good at this other thing instead.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I just like the idea of it sort of giving people space to like focus on what they're good at instead of feeling like you're always struggling because you're trying to do all these other things that like actually aren't really your jam.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good pun. And we will be right back with the smoke break. And welcome to the smoke break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz, who just got the joke.
I still don't get it.
Jasmine.
Nothing.
You get it.
Don't worry about it. Jasmine, don't fucking worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I tried to fill out a form the other day and I tried to put nothing in as the last name and it said, no, that's not a real name.
Wow.
Is it legally your last name?
It's Metros.
Oh, okay.
So it could be. Should be. And speaking of could be's and should be's, do you ever try to predict the future?
One of my favorite things is these segues.
Wait, yeah. is this section about being a psychic?
I actually met a sad psychic, which was upsetting because all I wanted was a happy medium.
God damn it.
Predictability is this section. We're going to talk about you not knowing that was going to be a punchline. I think predictability is important, but not for comedy. You don't want to know what's going to happen.
No, misdirection all the way.
Absolutely. But everything else. And Jasmine, it's something that you say frequently, and that is...
The predictability makes for safe adults. I think a lot of folks grow up with not that. Mm-hmm. And as adults in other people's lives, we can try and kind of make up for that to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
I think having adults you can rely on in general, mm-hmm. You know how they're going to react to things. If you do something, you know like what the outcome of that is going to be, even mm-hmm. if it's not an awesome outcome,
yeah.
you know what it's going to be. And that feels safe, like having walls you can bump up against, people having consistent boundaries.
Yes.
Makes people feel good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I like the idea of... I don't know, just knowing how somebody's going to react. Like, I feel like oftentimes with parents that I had a harder time with, it was because I didn't know how they were going to react.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, maybe this thing that I thought was really big ended up not being that big of a deal. And the thing that I thought was really small ended up being huge. And like the reaction was never proportionate. So like I assumed that every small thing was going to be a big thing, even though sometimes it was just a small thing.
Yeah. Then how does that continue to manifest all the time now?
I think every small thing's a big thing.
Yep.
We call them pebbles.
Yep.
I didn't even make that connection until you said that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for hurting my brain. Zoe?
I don't know. I was thinking about like my childhood. I'm always predictable. I think so. I think my mom was pretty predictable. I think my dad wasn't because I was always kind of like scared that he was mad at me about something. maybe he was predictably mad.
Yeah.
No, but I do think that you're right. I think predictability has a lot to do with safety. And I think like most of what people are doing most of the time is trying to feel safe. But it's interesting how like when you haven't had predictability, that sometimes like you trying to feel safe looks really chaotic to other people, or you know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. like it can be. But I think that most people are trying to feel safe and sometimes it just doesn't make sense to you. But that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind yeah. of what I was thinking about with predictability is like,
yeah, I was thinking of stuff like in at work with like social work stuff, mm-hmm. telling people like I have about 10 more minutes
yes.
before we have to leave. Yes. So like instead of like shutting a conversation down,
yeah,
is one of like the very like tiny ones.
Yes.
Or like at my house I have I have two clocks that like make bird noises mm-hmm. on the hour, and I feel like I have a lot of folks with mental health stuff that hang out in my house, and a sudden bird noise. I just try and tell them that's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And that's going to continue happening this entire time unless yes. we take the clock down.
Mm-hmm.
Just like naming stuff, or if there's yeah. like, I feel like a lot of times if there's just like a weird noise, like I also heard that,
yeah.
and just like naming mm-hmm. stuff that's happening.
Yeah,
I do that. Yeah, I totally do that. Well, yeah, I feel like I have a hard time not. Pointing thing. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that before, but that's cool.
Something that I really like about predictability was just like, and I guess I'm just making this connection now, is that like oftentimes if you're delivering bad news, they say that people can handle bad news if they have time to prepare for it. So like when you go into, like let's say I was about to tell you bad news, I'd be like, Zoe, so the next thing I'm going to say is really going to suck.
Pause.
Now I'm going to tell you the
okay,
thing.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think that's a good one. I was thinking like, don't do it ahead of time though. Like,
No.
Yeah.
We need to talk. Yeah. That's unpredictable. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. Let's just predicting you're going to have a terrible day until you figure out what's going to happen next.
I was thinking you meant that. And I was like, that always makes me feel worse when people are like, we need to talk. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
fuck, what did I do?
Yeah, about how it's going really well.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, but I hear
no one has ever said ever. But just in the moment, you're saying, like, being like, we're going to, you know, like, kind of giving
this is what's about to happen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. But but I think just being able to know what to expect, because, like, I think I would say with, like, let's say right now, the time that's happening right now, mm-hmm. it's very unpredictable.
Yep.
And that's why I think it feels so unsafe, is because we don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I think the unknown in general is just, like, really scary for people.
Yeah.
That makes me think about, like people who are religious and people who, like, are okay with just being like, I don't really know what's happening. Like, for me, I have this theory of, like I always thought, like, being religious would suck, because then what if you died and you found out you were wrong and you were like, fuck, I spent my whole life just totally doing the wrong shit. You know what I mean? And I feel like, to me, it feels more comfortable to be like, well, it's kind of what I think makes sense. But, like, who knows? Why would I know? You know what I mean?
No, the best part about them is that they don't get to go to the next part and be like, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah.
They're just gone.
Yeah.
Totally. That's just the end.
Yeah, probably.
You don't even get to be like, damn, I guess I was. But I mean, yeah, sure. I think it's a good example of, like, predictability, is that, like, people want to know that when they die, they know where what's going to happen. So, like, the fear of death becomes this huge thing where it's just like, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Therefore, I'm afraid.
Therefore, I believe in magic.
Therefore, I believe in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. No, but you
know, I was just thinking about how much I would like to be like a voyeur watching other people learn that they were wrong the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
like,
yes.
In a really petty way of, like, you live your whole life with these shitty values and hurt other people because of it. Mm-hmm. And now I get to watch you be wrong.
Yeah. Mm.
And realize it.
That would be a good gift.
And realize it.
For, like, being a good person the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take it. I'm petty.
Yeah. I was good, but I was petty.
Two things are true.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I just always been scared. Yeah. That's why I feel like being too confident sometimes is get you in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too confident that you know how something's going to turn out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that, you know, I think being afraid of the fact that you can't predict something is, like, it doesn't mean that it's not worth trying. Because I think oftentimes, because I can't predict how something's going to go, like, if I knew I was going to go out tonight and have an amazing time, I would be gone right fucking now. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I don't know if I'm going to have a good night means that I'm going to assume I might have a bad night.
So I'm going probably, to go home instead.
I'm going to have a horrible bad night. Therefore, I'm avoiding it by avoiding the thing.
Yeah.
So I think, like, sometimes we try to predict things in a way that's not very accurate.
Mm-hmm. And avoid taking risk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was making me think about, like, perfectionism, like people feeling like you have to do things a certain way, or that like, because you can't predict the, you know, some people have a really hard time making decisions because they can't predict the outcome, or they spend so much time and it's like, there's just a certain amount of chance, like, you can't predict everything. You know what I mean? So I think you could try to go too far with it too and make yourself a little frustrated, overwhelmed, decision paralysis.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, especially with, like, the decision paralysis part of it, it's just like, yes, there's a million options, but I mean, like, I don't know where I was going with that. I really thought I was going to fucking tie it together. I just took the last thing you said, tried to pull it to somebody help me.
Okay. I feel like with decision paralysis, like, I feel like I used to experience that more. And then being a manager for longer, people come to me and ask so many things. Mm. Now I just try and, like, impulsively make a decision when I feel like I've, like, I have all the information.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a decision.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck it. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm going to make the best decision I can with the information I have at the time. I'll make a better decision if I get more information.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to decide something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that, because I'd heard something about, like, the whole idea behind decision paralysis. And that's, like, that we think that there's some way of knowing which is the best option.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, and, like, because there really is no way of doing it, you kind of just have to fucking choose.
Just do it.
Just be like, well, there's a quantum Zane that went a different direction and had a better time. Maybe, you know, because you really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to be able to, like, have good times or learn from bad times.
Yeah.
Like, all the bad times don't have to be avoided.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah. 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 Just because something.
I say that now. If it actually goes bad, I'll probably be like, that was stupid. But
yeah. But I mean, like, avoiding and navigating, I feel like, are very different things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like avoiding a bad time and, like, understanding how to navigate a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of them's a little bit, you know, more prepared for. Like, you're predicting that you are going to have to deal with something is almost better.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, inevitable. Like, we deal with stuff all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody earlier said it's always something, and I was like, God damn if it isn't.
Yeah.
It's something I frequently yell at work. Yeah. It's always something. Okay. Whatever this is. All right. This is just what's happening now.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But so with predictability, where do you find the most of it?
The most predictability. I don't know. Probably with myself.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah. Cause I know myself the best. Well, yeah. And I think sometimes that's why you like get frustrated with other people, because you're like, why are you doing it that way? Just because you're, you know, like, cause you get in your own bubble about life. And then you're like, I feel like sometimes I do get frustrated with people. And then I'm like, well, that's predictable to them. But I guess I'm annoyed because I like didn't expect them to do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like there's certain things that I should be predicting more, you know, and just kind of like estimating, being like, okay, well, given past experiences.
Mm-hmm. I feel like in relationships, like my favorite relationships are the ones that I experience as like the most predictable.
Yeah.
Mm. Or even if there's like elements of chaos or whatever, like I can predict where those are going to be. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, I'm going to go into this situation with this person. And I know that this might be weird, mm-hmm. but I know that in advance. And so it's fine. It's not a surprise chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, that's, I like that predictability of like knowing that something is going to be chaotic and going into it. Yeah, I would say predictability where it shows up and where I want it.
Not always the same.
I would say predictability with me is where I'm asking you. You write in the comment section. Where is it for me? Because I wanted to say that it's with me, but like my moods are so unstable that it's unpredictable for even me.
Yeah.
And I would say other people, but we know how other people are. So I don't know that I have an answer. I don't know that maybe that's why I isolate so much, is because like none of it feels predictable.
I mean, my next thought I was having was like the other things that are predictable are like my personal space.
Yeah.
Like I am very cautious about who comes inside of it and kind of like curate that really specifically. Mm-hmm. My like romantic relationship is very predictable. We've been together for 20 something years and I feel like that is locked in. I don't have, strangely enough, I like don't have anxiety about that at all. Like that is just a thing that is fine. Like fine in a good way. Like I don't have to worry about it at all.
Yeah.
And so, but that makes sense as far as like isolating, because you do the same thing, but yours is just, it is a room instead.
Yes. Yeah.
But like that, your room is predictable.
Yes.
Outside of it, who knows? But
yeah, because I don't know what's going to happen outside of my room, outside of the house. Yeah. Wow. That's a sad thought. Zoe, quick.
But it's not a sad thought. It's exactly the same thing I said, but just like a little bit smaller of a space, and you will not live in that forever. You will move into a larger space where you get to continue to have those feelings of like safety and predictability.
Mm-hmm.
Now Zoe can talk.
It's on you.
I've lived in the same place for like almost 10 years, so my house is very predictable. But I don't know. I was going to say something, but I don't think it's
true. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like having the same place? Because like I've lived in a million different places in the last 10 years.
I'm kind of over it. Well, that's kind of what I was thinking too, is I feel like if you think about it in a relationship, predictability is good. But you know, it's like some people get addicted to like novelty too. So that's I was thinking about like in the context of relationships. Like sometimes people say like, oh, it got, you know, the reason we lost the spark is because it got so
stale.
Predictable. Yeah, yeah. And so it's interesting how predictability is really safe, but it's also like can be boring. I don't know if that's kind of a harsh word, but you know what I mean? Like,
no, I think that's good.
Yeah. And like, well, but maybe that's like, you know, a safe attachment if we were going to go back to the attachment.
Well, isn't that like an ADHD thing too, is where it's like we're constantly seeking novelty. So we're just like, this relationship is chaotic, but it also feels new chaotic.
Yeah. Like, yeah, totally. Well, and the other thing too is like, if you're like, I think as we kind of already covered this, but like if you grew up around chaos, like chaos does feel predictable. So it's interesting, like something
familiar.
Yeah. What might look chaotic to us, just one person could actually be like really familiar to someone else and predictable, and then therefore feel safe in a weird way. I don't know. That's why people probably get stuck in patterns of relationships. Probably that in the end, they're like, why am I still doing this? But it feels good in the moment, or it feels normal.
Yeah. What is it? The devil you know? Right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, yeah. That's Yeah.
Like, how much does it affect, like, who you decide to hang out with?
Predictability?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It's almost like a right off the bat thing. Like, I need to know, because, like, I struggled, I wouldn't say as much, with paranoia. Like, I have to be able to know that, like, when you say something, this is what you mean. When you're upset, you voice it. Like, because I can't even trust my own brain sometimes, I would say that it's more important that I can trust everybody and everything outside of it, which seems to be everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That made me think about like loyalty too. If you think about it, like loyalty is kind of a form of like predictability where like you know that you can count on this person to behave in this way or to show up for you in this way or to not bail on you when this thing happens. You know what I mean? So I think it's kind of like that's probably why we value loyalty because it's predictable.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But I don't know if that's.
No, it was perfect. It was perfect. All right, we're going to take a real predictable break, and we will be right back to the smoke break. And welcome back to the smoke break. I'm your host, your old predictable pal, Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz.
I'm predictably very distractible because I just whispered, "Is it raining?" into the microphone.
And Jasmine Nothing.
This is great. I love this.
So during our break, we had a little bit of time to self-reflect, and we figured we'd just take that into our next segment. So self-reflection.
That last segment was weird. I'm just kidding.
Just going to name that.
I was weird.
And that felt predictable and safe, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
So he's doing a lot of reflection on it. One of the things we were talking about is kind of like two sides of the coin with self-reflection, how it can be lovely and good and important in growth and becoming who you want to be and everything. Sure. And, or it can be terrible and full of like negative self-talk.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me about that cool idea I had.
Yeah. Bring it back.
Tell me more about it.
Well, the reason I thought of self-reflection is because I was thinking about how it's really hard to make progress in a relationship with somebody if they're not able to be self-reflective. And I think it's like, I think I got better at being self-reflective as I got older. Like it's definitely a skill, you know, but I think I was thinking about that. Like, and then also like when you're trying to help people too, like you can only help somebody as far as they're willing to like, let you point things out to them. You know what I mean? So like if someone's coming to you for advice or, you know, whatever, like, and obviously a lot of the time people just need you to listen. So it's not like you should always be giving advice, but
No.
But I do think a really important part of growth is being able to look at yourself and be able to be comfortable enough looking at yourself and things you do and don't like, and be like, okay, well, I'd like to change that versus like, I'm a bad person. So I should just whatever, you know, like giving up because of those uncomfortable things that we might see when we look at ourselves. So I was kind of thinking about it like that.
Yeah. Well, and I think being able to look at yourself as somebody who can grow from where they're at is the thing that makes like self-reflection. It gives it the ability for you to grow, I guess, is that like if you're only looking at yourself in this like realistic stance of like, I'm not where I want to be, then that kind of will just leave you where you're at. But if you say like, I'm not where I want to be, but I can be better, like that feels like you can, like there's room to grow.
And it's still hard. Like I feel like I frequently get caught up in the feeling of like being self-reflective in like a bad way and just like obsessing about like, why didn't I do this better? Why am I not better at this? But like for somebody else I care about, I can very easily be like, oh, but look at what you did right now. Look where you were 6 months ago. Here are like the 18 things that I've seen you accomplish since then. This is so incredible. But the idea of doing that for myself, no, gross. I can't do that. It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I definitely struggle with the, like, there's almost like a thin line of like between where self-reflection becomes like, you know, starts holding you back from growing too. Because if you're overly analyzing everything you do and say, then you're like not really just giving yourself a chance to be present. You know what I mean?
Well, you're not even doing anything else.
Yeah.
Like stuck in the past.
Yeah. Cause like if you're just sitting there thinking about what you've done, then you can't currently be doing something if you're thinking about what you've done. So like, now you're not even making memories to regret.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, and something else that I think is like helpful whenever people are overthinking is like, I mean, not that it feels good to be reminded that you're being like not totally realistic, but like other people don't spend nearly as much time thinking about you as they spend thinking about themselves. So the chance of someone else reflecting to the point of like where you've judged yourself is like pretty unlikely. You know what I mean? Like maybe one out of 20 times someone's got that far. But most of the time, people move on pretty quickly from judging other people and go back to judging themselves.
So. On the bright side, I don't have time to think about how shitty you are. I'm thinking about how shitty I am.
You can pretty much guarantee like that other people don't go that far. But, you know, it can be a painful spiral sometimes to be self-reflective.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, I think there's a lot of benefit to it just because I don't know. Something I guess I was thinking about earlier is that there's two kinds of people who are self-reflective. There's the people who are naturally self-reflective, and then there's the people who weren't, who had it brought to their attention. And now they're like, why isn't everybody self-reflective?
totally. Yeah.
And I don't know which one I am. Yeah. But I'd like to think I was initially self-reflective, but I don't know. I might have been a, like, you should think more about your actions. And I was like, I'll think about that.
Well, I was thinking of the secret third thing, which is also people who think that they're self-reflective who are liars.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, is how honest are you with yourself? That's another part of being self-reflective, right? Yeah, like if your self-reflection, like when you self-reflect, everyone else is always the reason that something bad happened or the reason, then that's not the same thing as being self-reflective and questioning your choices or your behavior too, you know, like if, so...
Yeah.
If it's self-reflection is everybody's always victimizing me or, you know, something like that, then.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
How honest can you be with yourself in your self-reflection? So.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think it's, what was the thing that you were saying before about like the people who have a negative self-view are often more realistic?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yes, I remember, I don't know if it's true 100%, but I remember learning it like in psychology class. Yeah, was it people that, people with low self-esteem are more accurate than people with high self-esteem. And that sucks, but it makes sense kind of, right? Like,
yeah, but I mean, at the same time, I would rather be realistic about the ways that like I'm faulting than, unrealistic about the ways I'm succeeding. Because there's a lot of fucking, there was somebody, one of the people I started comedy with would be like, oh, I fucking killed it. And I was like, yeah, the energy, like absolutely, 100%. Like he thought he did great. And I'm just like, I did terrible. I could do better. And it's just like, that's because we were reflecting differently.
Mm-hmm. And which one of those was like more helpful in the end? Because he probably didn't make his comedy better because he didn't need to. He was fine enough already, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I like that you say that because it's just like self-reflection means that you know that you can grow, where like the opposite of that is thinking that you don't have anything to improve on. Mm-hmm. That's dangerous.
And boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would rather work on stuff.
Yeah.
Well, feel like you're growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not feel like you're better than everybody. You're like, why haven't you guys figured it out? Because I totally haven't figured it out.
Yeah. Well, and
who are these people that think that?
Yeah, there are.
That must be nice.
I don't know.
I don't even think I'm good, but I'm better than other people.
I do think sometimes, though, like I will see certain people with comedy where I'm like, that confidence is going to get them farther than like my skill and my lack of confidence. Like sometimes it really does. Like sometimes, you know, that people say like people won't believe in you unless you believe in yourself. Like there is in certain areas, there is a lot of distance you can make a lot of progress with believing in yourself before, you know, I don't know. Like I've just seen both ends of it.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I mean, I would say that like people will believe in you with you, but then there are also going to be those people that like, regardless of whether or not you believe in yourself, they still see how great you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had one of those. I'm just kidding. It's Jasmine and Zoe and Taylor when he's here. But yeah, I don't know. What's something you've reflected on recently that you've been like, hey, I do that, or I'd like to stop?
I feel like something, well, I mean, I feel like we've probably talked about this before, but like,
we've done 127 episodes. We probably have.
just being like a better listener, I feel like is something, it's like an ongoing struggle for me because I have ADHD and I'm unmedicated as far as actual like stimulants go. And so I struggle to not like try to finish people's sentences or like cut people off. But it's usually because I'm excited, but it has the exact opposite effect. Like it makes people feel dismissed, but really I'm doing it because I'm like really invested in what you're saying and I want to like keep, but I'm like, all right, I get it, move on, you know, and then that's rude, but
yeah,
that's how my brain is. So I've been trying to be self-reflective about that and like be more of an active listener. And it takes like really intentional effort. And then there's times where I don't do it and people point it out to me and it makes like people I love feel like shit. And then I'm like, God, like, how do I not beat myself up so much that I, you know, like there's that balance of like, I want to be aware of it, but I don't want to, you know, be super hard on myself about it because it is something I'm probably always going to struggle with.
Yeah.
So I think that's something I've been thinking about more lately, like being an active listener, trying to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Jasmine, what about you? What have you
Toxic been? Independence.
Toxic independence. Okay, go ahead.
I was listening to you, but I was also trying to think really hard. And then it came to me. Yeah, I just feel incapable of like accepting stuff from anybody else, but get really frustrated when other people do it to me where I'm like, I want to help you. Please let me help. And then they'll try and do the bet in turn. I'm like, no, thank you. I would not like to have any of that. and that's stupid. And I don't entirely understand why I do it either. Yeah. Or just like, when I am upset about something, someone will be like, are you okay? And I'll be like, yep, I'm fine, when I'm clearly not, and then refuse to say anything. And then right around the time they're like, okay, fine, I'll leave you alone. I'm like, oh, but I wanted to, okay. It's like, well, you're stupid. You should have said yes and like shared what you were thinking or feeling 8 times ago when they asked, instead of waiting for their, like, the 9th time was like the magical one where I was going to be like, actually, okay, fine, I guess I'll share my thoughts.
Well, where, I'm curious, do you probably have a hunch of where it comes from, right? Like, do you have a hunch of where it comes from? The tendency to do that, like,
I mean, doesn't everything start with like complicated family childhood, whatever? But
other than,
just like spending a ton of time alone, I think, as a kid, or being like the, just like the oldest of four, and they were a lot younger than me, so a lot of like being the, like, the fake, the bonus parent.
I was gonna
say, parents were money making stuff, and so, and like nannying like half the neighborhood, so like there'd just be like a million. I was like babysitting kids that were like a year younger than me. There was just like a lot of be the adults now,
parentalized
sort of stuff.
Yeah
And so I feel like I've carried that for a long time. Or just like, you know, you depend on people and they're disappointing.
Yes.
So what if I just never depended on anybody?
Totally. Yeah,
it's pretty safe.
Yeah. And then there's the other end where you like overly depend on people who clearly can't show up for you. And then you're like, why does everybody let me down? I feel like I used to be that person.
Yeah. That's why I don't have birthday parties, is I'm just like, I don't depend on anybody showing up. Yeah. Therefore, I will never be disappointed.
Which is why I'm going to just continue to plan birthday things for Zane.
Yeah, that'd probably be best, because I won't. And then I won't know who all you invited. So when they don't show up. Anyways, what was the question that I asked? I was going to answer.
When's your birthday?
January 9th.
Oh, yeah. It already happened.
It did. Did.
I should know that. Sorry.
It's fine.
Zane got a tattoo. And
oh, yeah.
That's what it was. Cool. Now I remember. Pebbles. Pebbles was the thing I've been self-reflecting on. It's connected to the bee tattoo that I have on my leg. See that? That's a bee.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't see yours.
A comic one time asked me, or he actually said to me, he said, I feel like, and this was in response to a bunch of people ganging up on me, he said, I feel like if you were attacked by a swarm of bees, you would ask the opinion of every bee. And I was like, wow, I have never been so
seen.
Accurately described. But on top of the whole bees thing is like a the idea of like pebbles, which are these really small things that I blow up into really big things. Mm. And I feel like I had something that I was connecting this to that I cannot connect it to currently.
Your childhood?
Childhood. Sure, why
this
not?
Is where I'll most try. Things start from, yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it was basically just like, yeah, somebody would react in a really big way that felt like unpredictable. So like, I have basically created this almost like a defense mechanism of like assuming everything's worse than it is. And then like just reacting to it in this really big disproportionate way, because like they reacted to it disproportionately. Now I'm reacting to it disproportionately. And like having that realization that like I almost set myself up for those, because sometimes like I'll ask somebody, I'll be, or I'll tell somebody something thinking that they're going to know what I'm asking. I'll be like, oh my God, this thing came up. And what I'm asking is can you help me with this thing? But what I'm saying is this thing came up, and then they say, oh, that sounds complicated. And I'm like, fine, fuck it, I'll figure it out, you know? And it's just like,
I mean, we can literally use the actual example that you're talking about, or the most recent example.
Sure.
Zane called me and was just like, I was going to come to work in a Lyft, but it costs $50.
What does that mean?
End of statement. Didn't say, so can you come get me, or I can't afford that, or so can I work from home?
Zero other
or
information.
Any information, or do you want me to just validate that sucks, or you can, it's okay if you come in later, or there was just nothing else.
Nothing. No indication.
And so, which is like a common thing. So we had a conversation about it. I'm just like, I just need to know what you wanted.
Yeah.
Like, what are you asking?
Because they weren't just like, you can blank, which I didn't even know what I was looking for. I was like, fine, fuck it, I'll figure it out. And it's like, but I do that very frequently, and that's something I need to realize about myself. Because I'll ask somebody to do, you know, I won't ask somebody to do something. I'll just say that I need something done.
Just, not even that. You just presented a statement. Just, yeah. Here's a problem.
I'm just like, the McRib is back.
It's like, did Figure you want to go out. Get one? Are you upset about it? Did you want me to pick one up? What is the ask? I can probably do whatever it is. I just need more information.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Oh, my God.
I've heard it's good. I've never had one.
Get on
Same.
It. Get on
Are
it.
Are they really good?
Yes.
What does it taste like?
I used to work at McDonald's, like dreams. I used to work at McDonald's, and that was the one thing that like I'd burnt myself out on everything else, and that was just the one that was always
still good.
Still good.
Have you had one?
No.
Me neither.
Remember why?
Why?
Because I don't eat meat.
All right.
I mean, is it really me?
We are learning about each other on this episode, and I am so glad to welcome you as one of our hosts.
Yeah, we are very excited.
Yeah, our first vegetarian host.
Vegan, not vegan.
Excuse me, vegan.
Oh, my God. I'm glad that's going to be recorded for forever.
For forever. Jasmine, it has been such a treat talking with you. Zoe.
Are you really a vegan?
No. Still not.
It's an urban legend.
Yeah, yeah. Don't believe the hype.
But if you just say it often enough.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Sorry. You can say something about me that's not true and I'll go along with it.
I can't think of anything that wouldn't be wildly inappropriate. Yeah. I've been your host, your old pal Zane, here with Zoe Perfect Schwartz.
Awkward Schwartz.
Ooh, Awkward Schwartz and Jasmine.
I thought this is when you were going to talk about horses being telepathic.
Oh, yeah, horses are telepathic.
And Jasmine, nothing.
There we go.
Ride a horse.
Play the prayers. Save a cowboy.